American soccer fans, welcome to episode 122 of the USA SoccerCast. We are bringing you everything about the U.S. national teams, the players, the leagues, and everything else that impacts the game of soccer in these United States. I'm Donald Wine. As we get ready to welcome in 2024, there were some more big news items that we definitely want to discuss on this episode that have occurred over the last couple of weeks. We are going to begin in Major League Soccer. Recently, MLS announced some rules changes that were coming about in 2024. Some of them are pretty interesting. There were no changes to roster rules with regards to designated player spots or the U22 initiative slots. The only thing that went up budget-wise was the salary cap and the general allocation money, about $638,000 per team. But there are some other rules changes that will occur in 2024 on the field and also in other areas of the corporate governance that is Major League Soccer. First off, a reduction in the number of players a team can hold discovery claims on from 7 to 5. So, look, they can't go after the Messis and the Ronaldos and the Ibras of the world. They got to go and really hone down the number of players they can hold discovery claims on. The option now is available to receive transfer fees on designated players as general allocation money that brings DP sales in line with other outgoing transfers. There's a change in the deadline for when a player must have their U.S. residency interview in order to be considered a domestic player. That deadline falling back from February 24th to the opening date of the summer transfer window. So there's a few extra months for those guys to become in line and get those green cards so that they are considered domestic players. Here's an interesting one. If a player with a suspected injury remains on the field for more than 15 seconds, the medical crew gets on to evaluate the player, but the player has to be off the field for a minimum of 2 minutes for further assessment and treatment. They can't just come right back onto the field. So if they are down for more than 15 seconds, they have to be off for 2 minutes. So that will hopefully stop some of the bleeding, for lack of a better word, when it comes to players trying to, you know, fake injury in order to draw out the clock. Time substitution rule. If a substituted player does not exit the field within 10 seconds, the player that's coming on for him has to wait 60 seconds before entering the game at the next stoppage. So that's another one. You can't drag on by walking off really slow. You got to get off quickly. Otherwise, your team play down for at least a minute while that player waits to enter the game. VAR decisions will be announced by the referee to fans in stadiums and viewers at home. I love this one. This falls in line with every other major sport here in America. And honestly, we want to hear those things. We saw it at the Women's World Cup. I thought it was great. We get to see that in Major League Soccer. The scoreboard. This is the one that's long overdue. The scoreboard at the stadium will finally show stoppage time. It won't just stop at 45 and 90. It will continue on. So if there's 5 minutes and the clock will say 95:04, this one's long overdue. It drives me up a wall how I can see time at home, but I can't in the stadium. This doesn't drive up attendance. And casual fans that have a better vantage point at home and more information at their disposal from their couch, they're going to stay on their couch. This will keep them in stadiums because they will be able to have the same information that you will be able to see at home. And then finally, opposing teams that simultaneously incur head injuries requiring off-field treatment, they will return to the game at the same time once both have undergone medical evaluation. So I think that's just a fairness issue. A lot of these rules were tried in MLS Next Pro and have been well received. However, the day after these rules changes came out, MLS did the Friday news dump to try and bury the biggest rule change of them all. Major League Soccer announced that his clubs would not be playing in the 2024 U.S. Open Cup. The Open Cup is the oldest ongoing soccer competition in America, first held in 1913. Instead of MLS clubs, they wanted to send the reserve teams from MLS Next Pro. Now, of course, that would include DC United, who does not have an MLS Next Pro team. So MLS confirmed at the time that DC United would not have any participation in this tournament, which really was awful for myself and other fans of that team. Their main issue for removing the first teams from the U.S. Open Cup centered around schedule congestion. However, they mentioned that the three Canadian teams, Toronto, Montreal, and Vancouver, would still compete in the Canadian Championship, which is the U.S. Open Cup of Canada. And the U.S. Open Cup champs would still qualify for the CONCACAF Champions Cup. Well, a few days later, U.S. Soccer, who had apparently been blindsided by this news, as the league had not expressed its intention to remove its teams from the tournament, gave its response. And the Federation's response was, nah. MLS Next Pro teams that were linked with the MLS club were already ineligible for the U.S. Open Cup. So the league needed to submit a waiver request to get those teams in. The Federation denied that request, putting it back on Major League Soccer. Major League Soccer released their league schedule in full on December 20th, and that schedule did keep the U.S. Open Cup dates free on their calendar. So as of right now, MLS is still required to enter its first teams in the Open Cup, and they should. They should be competing in the Open Cup. The schedule congestion that they swear exists is a creation of their own doing. Between Leagues Cup, Campeones Cup, an extended MLS Cup playoffs that last nearly 2 months, all to prop up their MLS season pass on Apple TV, that's not a good excuse. Particularly since the Canadian teams are playing in their domestic championship. So we're talking about 1 to 2 additional matches for most of the teams, and there are no roster rules that prohibit MLS teams from having some of the younger players play in those Open Cup matches. Most of them already do that. But mainly, it's disrespectful of the league to think that they are better than the Cup set, that they are better than the oldest tournament in American sports. The U.S. Open Cup is a chance for a trophy, something that teams should be pursuing. And it was arrogant of them to try and remove themselves from that tournament. They should be in it and compete to win instead of throwing it to the reserves. Let's pause here. On the other side, more information on the 2025 FIFA Club World Cup has been released. We'll discuss that as well as the 2026 World Cup match schedule after this. Hey everyone, are you looking for the latest gear for your U.S. national teams, Major League Soccer, the NWSL, or any other team in the world of soccer? The USA SoccerCast has affiliate partnerships that are ready to help you out. Head to linktree.com/USA SoccerCast, where we have links to Homage, Fanatics, the MLS Store, and Breaking Tee. You can get the jersey, shirt, hat, or accessory you're looking for to support your team while also saving some money and helping this show in the process. Again, linktree.com/USA SoccerCast. Click on the links and get your gear. And we thank you as always for your support of the show. We are back, and FIFA a week ago gave us the slots for the 2025 Club World Cup, the expanded 32-team version of the tournament. It will take place in the United States and will overlap with the 2025 Gold Cup, which is also expected to be an expanded format. So there may be some teams that have some issues with players, but for the Club World Cup, we will go through which teams will enter into this tournament. Africa is getting 4 teams, Asia is getting 4, Europe is getting 12, CONCACAF is getting 4, Oceania is getting 1, South America is getting 6, and the host country, the United States of America, is getting a team to be confirmed. Now, some of these confederations are using their club confederation championship winners to fill some of these slots. Also, some of them are using some sort of ranking system, which no one really knows how it's working, but will somehow spit out a few more teams that will enter this 32-team tournament. But what does that last part mean? The host country, one team. It remains to be seen. For every other Club World Cup, the previous league winner is the team that would qualify for that tournament as the host country's representative. But for this one, most people are already in the conspiracy theory that they will just name Inter Miami as that host country representative just so Lionel Messi and friends can be in the tournament one last time. That is, if they don't win the CONCACAF Champions Cup next year. I really hope that doesn't happen. It should be the MLS Cup winner next year, which would give all 29 teams a chance to win it. Maybe they have to exclude the 3 Canadian teams, but the MLS Cup winner or highest finishing American team should represent the host nation and not just give Inter Miami an automatic spot. Also, the 2024 Club World Cup will be replaced by a new tournament called the FIFA Intercontinental Cup. It will consist of the winners of each of the Confederation Club tournaments in various stages beginning in December 2024. On one side of the bracket, you have Stage A. Stage A has Round 1, which is on an alternating basis, the AFC Champions League winner or the CAF Champions League winner. They will host the winner of the Oceania Champions League. The winner of that round will move to round two, where they will face the other, the AFC or CAF. Whoever didn't host round one will host round two. There will be a draw to determine who of the Asian and African winners will host round one and who will play the winner of that round one matchup, and that alternates every single year. On the other side is Stage B, where the CONCACAF Champions Cup winner will play the Copa Libertadores winner in a single elimination match, the host being determined by draw and rotating every year after that. The winner of Stage A and Stage B will play each other in a neutral site in Europe a few days before the final. The winner of that neutral site match will then proceed to the final, where they will face the winner of the UEFA Champions League. It's an interesting setup. I don't like that the UEFA Champions League winner always gets to host the final in Europe and only have to play one match to win this cup. But of course, FIFA was set up this way. I thought the current Club World Cup format was fine and it would rotate among the confederations. But anyways, still a chance annually for MLS teams to compete in the CONCACAF Champions Cup for a chance to win that and advance to an international tournament. This format may be wonky, but hopefully we see an MLS team compete in it very soon. The final topic we have to discuss is that we finally could see a match schedule for the 2026 World Cup. The report is that it could come in January, and that could give host venues a chance to know exactly which matches they are hosting and when, a couple of years ahead of time. In theory, it would also allow U.S. fans to know which cities would be hosting the group stage matches for the U.S. men's national team, as well as where knockout stage matches would be played, including the World Cup final. As for where the U.S. could play their group stage matches, it all depends on where some of these knockout stage games are played, but the venues are divided into regions, West, Central, and East. In the United States, here are the cities that are in each venue. You have in the West, L.A., Santa Clara, and Seattle. In the central region, you have Kansas City, Dallas-Fort Worth, Houston, Atlanta, and Miami. And then in the east, you have Boston, New York, New Jersey, and Philadelphia. I could see the U.S. being spread out playing a match in each region. Or, given that the three group stage matches in Copa America are in Dallas-Fort Worth, Atlanta, and Kansas City, and they're each in the central region, I could see Copa America being a test run for the U.S.'s path through the World Cup group stage in 2026. It seems we'll find everything out shortly, so we can all do some planning, but I'm really looking forward to seeing which matches will be placed where, and finally we will have a schedule. It hopefully will not be long before we know that. That will do it for episode 122 of the USA SoccerCast. Thank you so much for listening. Remember, follow us on Twitter. We are at USA SoccerCast. Don't forget we have an affiliate program with Homage, Fanatics, MLS Store, and Breaking Tee. Head to linktree.com/USA SoccerCast to learn more. Click the links to those sites and support the show while getting the latest gear. And please send us some topic suggestions as we move forward. You can email them to usasoccercast@gmail.com or tag us on Twitter. Happy New Year, everyone. We will see you again in 2024. So until then, peace.